end. The civilization is quantitative instead of qualitative. As mind tends invincibly to universality, it will then seek it in the realms of matter. The reign of quantity, of mass production, and of standardized parts will be inaugurated. In such a civilization, metaphysicians will be of little social account compared with financiers. Arts in which matter is excessively prominent, such as the noble art of self-defense and certain games, will occupy a place altogether out of proportion to their importance. The winning of material comfort, which appeals to the animality in man, animality is so universal that it belongs also to beings other than man, will become all-absorbing. By all this, we do not mean to convey that those technical triumphs are devoid of intelligence and idealism. Far from it. We simply want to emphasize the fact that in our quantitative civilization, intelligence and idealism are placed at the service of the animality in us and turned downwards to the manipulation of matter rather than upwards to contemplation and suprasensible reality. With the rejection of the great truth of our membership of the mystical body of Christ crucified, these very material conquests are leading to a state of awful disorder. Men can now overcome the obstacles of time and space with what may be termed, of course, with exaggeration, angelic swiftness. But his triumphs are being placed more and more at the service of demoniacal hate. Matter is the principle of division. We shall conclude this commentary by a few remarks about the force of the syllabus and the meaning of the propositions. What is the binding force of the syllabus? The distinguished writer of the article on the syllabus in the Catholic Encyclopedia sums up the results of his investigations as follows, quote, "Even should the condemnation of many propositions not possess the unchangeableness peculiar to infallible decisions, nevertheless the binding force of the condemnation in regard to all the propositions is beyond doubt. For the syllabus, as appears from the official communication of Cardinal Antonelli, accompanying it when it was sent to the bishops, is a decision given by the Pope, speaking as teacher and judge to Catholics the world over. All Catholics, therefore, are bound to accept the syllabus. Exteriorly, they may neither in word nor in writing oppose its contents. They must also assent to it interiorly." End of quote. In our days, when the mystical body of Christ is so vehemently attacked on all sides, Catholics must never forget that the Pope possesses a twofold teaching authority, supreme or infallible, and ordinary. The Pope teaches the Church with his ordinary authority, either directly or through one of the Roman congregations, that is, through one of the committees of learned men who assist him in his work. The congregation of the Holy Office, or Inquisition, is concerned with purity of doctrine, the Biblical Commission with questions connected with the sacred scriptures. When he employs his ordinary authority, he is not infallible and does not, of course, bind us to an assent of faith. But a Catholic who puts himself fully at the point of view of the Church as Christ's mystical body, continuing his mission of loving guidance, will receive every instruction and direction of the Sovereign Pontiff as a divinely guided safeguard of weak human reason. This is the only attitude that becomes a Catholic, but it means a reaction against the world around us. Catholics should learn to value the syllabus for what it really is, a God-given guiding line amidst the shifting sands of modern errors. The true doctrine opposed to the errors enumerated in the syllabus is expressed by the contradictory propositions of each of the condemned theses. This contradictory proposition can be obtained by prefixing to each of the banned theses the words, "It is not true that." For example, the true doctrine in regard to the 80th proposition may be enunciated as follows. It is not true that the Roman pontiff can and ought to be reconciled and come to terms with progress, liberalism, and modern civilization. In the case of the 79th proposition, which begins with the words, "It is false," the contradictory is obtained by substituting for these words the phrase, "It is true." We must, of course, be always careful to take the exact contradictory of the proposition condemned in order to have a clear idea of the Catholic teaching to be followed. The syllabus has frequently been misinterpreted owing to the non-observance of this rule of logic.